The following program is produced and paid for by Temple Emmanuel.
Sooner or later, you can bet your life that every Jew in this building is going to say the same thing. He's a little too Jewish for my taste.
Shalom, and welcome to Too Jewish with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is Jeremy Cowan, creator of Schmaltz Brewing Company and Hebrew Beer, the best Jewish beer in America. We'll also visit with our maven on Israel, Danny Bobman. Please contact us with comments at our email address, TooJewishRadio@yahoo.com. Too Jewish is sponsored this morning by Temple Emmanuel, a Reformed Jewish community for all of Tucson. Call 327-4501 for information on Southern Arizona's fastest-growing synagogue, the only full-service Reformed congregation in Southern Arizona. We're sponsored as well by Jill Rich of Realty Executives, by Environmental Strategies, and by Better Bodies. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom. Well, the Jewish holidays are finally all over, and we are festival-free until Hanukkah. Now, it might seem that a season full of holidays would be an ideal time of year, and it is, in most ways, the most religiously and spiritually rewarding of times. But if you happen to be a rabbi or a cantor, or God forbid, both, this fall festival marathon is kind of a combination of tax season for accountants, end of the year for retail merchants, and the World Series for hot dog vendors. As much as most of us enjoy the Chagim, we are secretly delighted that things are finally going to return to normal, or some variation of it. To get us started in this post-holiday period with a light touch, here's a lovely little song from the Sephardic Jews of the island of Rhodes in the Aegean Sea, heavily influenced by the French Jewish Alliance Day School movement, singing about the street near the school where we meet our loves, En el Camino de la Escola, from the great Sephardic group, The Voice of the Turtle.
Camino de la scuola con un mancebo m'incontri bonjour lady li avli la mano io le apriti bonjour lady li avli la mano io le apriti
bonjour ti do io in primero por hablar di lo che quiero esperanza in ti tengo che mi amis por entero esperanza en ti tengo que mi amis por entero
en una escuela estuvimos mismos estudios hicimos al valorear nos entremos a la gente tres salimos al valorear nos entremos a la gente tres salimos Mancebo m'incontri Bonjour lady Li avli la mano Io le apriti Bonjour lady Li avli la mano Io le apriti Bonjour Vito Io in primero Por hablarti lo che quiero Esperanza in ti tengo Che mi amis Por entero Esperanza en ti tengo que mi amis por entero.
From the Voice of the Turtle musical group, a song of the Jews of the Island of Rhodes in the ancient Aegean Sea. Well, now that Simchat Torah has come and gone, we're into the fall Torah reading cycle, which begins with the beginning of Genesis and includes most of the greatest hits of Jewish biblical tradition. Last week it was the creation of the world, Adam and Eve, and Cain and Abel. And this week it's the best sea story of them all, the great flood tale of Noah. We are mostly familiar with the text itself. God sees that wickedness and corruption have spread throughout the world and that human beings are acting in ways that should have been predictable to an all-knowing deity. Lying, cheating, stealing, committing adultery, giving war contracts to cronies in the oil business, the usual. In response, God decides to destroy the world in a great flood, rain falling for 40 days and nights, the whole of humanity drowned in the deluge. One man is chosen to survive the flood because, the Torah text tells us in this week's portion, he was righteous in his generation. Noah, Noach in Hebrew, is chosen to carry the banner of humanity to the next generation. Gathering his family about him and two of each animal, plus seven pairs of each kosher animal, so there's something to eat and something else to sacrifice to God if they make it out, Noah builds an ark, loads the boat, and goes on not a three-hour cruise, but one long enough to float away every trace of the depravity of humanity in those days. Eventually, he sends out first a raven and finally a dove to see if the world is dry enough to land on. The dove brings back that famous olive branch. They land and exit the ark, and life begins again. Noah, we are told, was a righteous man in his generation, which doesn't necessarily make him a righteous man in every generation, but it certainly makes a wonderful subject for comedians in every generation. Here's the start of Bill Cosby's famous shtick on Noah.
You see, Noah was in his rec room sawing away. He's making a few things for the home there. He's a good carpenter. It's vuba, 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 vuba. Noah. Somebody call? Vuba, vuba, vuba. Noah. Who is that? It's the Lord, Noah. Right. Where I am? What do you want? I've been good. I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? Get some wood, build it 300 cubits by 80 cubits by 40 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what a cubit was. Well, don't worry about that, Noah. When you get that done, go out into the world, collect all of the animals in the world by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. Am I on candid camera?
We'll hear much more about Noah, who somehow always brings out the best in comedians. And when we come back, we'll meet our guest this morning, Jeremy Cowan, founder of Schmaltz Brewing Company, creator and promoter of Hebrew Beer, the self-proclaimed best Jewish beer in America.
Environmental Strategies Incorporated was established in Arizona almost 15 years ago. They're a corporation that's very unique and has distinguished itself as one of the foremost environmental remediation companies in Arizona. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is also a full-service general contractor. The fact that they have two divisions affords their clients the opportunity to work with one contractor to deal with environmental problems as well as their building and remodeling needs. Environmental Strategies clientele range from single-family homeowners to multi-million dollar Fortune 500 companies. So, if you're in need of asbestos abatement, mold remediation, or general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies at 884-1114. And, if you wish, ask for Ken Goodman, the president. He'd be more than happy to talk with you about your project. That's Environmental Strategies, 884-1114.
Have you ever wanted to know more about Judaism but were afraid to ask or just didn't know the best place to start? Temple Emmanuel's Adult Education Academy, the largest and most complete adult Jewish education in Arizona, is taking registration now for its outstanding fall classes beginning the week of October 20th. Classes range from introductory courses like Taste of Judaism and Practical Judaism to Basic Judaism and Intermediate Judaism, and they include Kabbalah, Three Levels of Hebrew, courses in the forbidden love poetry of the Song of Songs, the Book of Kings, the Prayers of the Heart, adult bar and bat mitzvah, adult confirmation, and Jewish book and movie groups. Call 327-4501 for a brochure and more information. Our instructors include Rabbi Samuel M. Kohan, Rabbi David Freeland, and Rabbi Richard Safran. They're all outstanding and entertaining teachers. Classes meet in Central Tucson and in the Northwest. Do the Jewish thing. Learn. Call 327-4501 to find out more.
This week we read the story of Noah in the Torah, which concludes with the flood departing, Noah exiting the ark on dry land and planting a vineyard, the first development of alcoholic beverages in the post-diluvian world. Appropriately, we're delighted to welcome our guest this morning, Jeremy Cowan, founder of Schmaltz Brewing Company and the creator of He Brew Beer, who's on a kind of a mission. As his publicity puts it, he, like Noah, is on a journey of 40 days and 40 nights, the Wandering Hebrew Beer Tour of America, from Sukkot to Thanksgiving, 18 cities, 5,000 miles, two chosen beers, one wandering beer-selling Jew. Jeremy, how do you think of this stuff?
Good morning. I don't know. It just comes to me. Silly inspiration and a wonderful outlet for my creativity and my imagination and a great way to participate in the Jewish community.
How did a nice Jewish boy from the Bay Area become a brewmaster and beer promoter?
Well, it was not any master plan. It just kind of happened organically. When I was growing up in the Bay Area, it was a much, much smaller Jewish community at the time, and I was one of just a couple of Jewish kids in my high school class, and I was hanging out with some friends after we graduated from high school, and a couple of us who were Jewish were playing volleyball together, and the rest of our friends weren't Jewish, and we thought, you know, what this volleyball team really needs is a nice Jewish beer. And and then we thought, you know what, actually what the Jews need is their own beer. I mean, that would be so great. You know, everybody else has their own beer. The Jamaicans have Red Stripe, and Mexicans have Corona, and the Blue Bloods now have Sam Adams. I mean, if the Jews had their own beer, that would really bring us together. So we thought, well, you know, of course the beer would be called Hebrew, and the punchline would be, don't pass out, pass over.
The stereotype of Jews is that except for Simchat Torah and Purim and, you know, Manischewitz, we don't drink. Is that outdated?
Well, it depends. There definitely are some Jews that don't drink very much, but I think there's plenty of Jewish fraternity boys who might suggest that the drinking culture is about the same as anybody else. And I think that the nice thing for me is that that's part of the fun. I mean, I'm having a good time breaking down some stereotypes in a lot of different ways, and I think one of them is that, you know, plenty of Jews drink just as much as everybody else, and that's why it's been really fun to have Hebrew be so outwardly, you know, unapologetically Jewish and having fun breaking down those kinds of stereotypes.
We will talk much more with Jeremy Cowan, owner and creator of Hebrew Beer, a little later this morning.
When I started working out with Jeremy, I weighed 137 pounds and I had 29% body fat.
Barb talks about her experience with personal trainer Jeremy Price of Better Bodies.
After 12 weeks, I weighed 117 pounds and had 14% body fat. My energy level skyrocketed.
In their new private facility, Better Bodies makes it easy to lose your body fat fast.
Physically, I feel better than I have in my whole life, and my family and friends and everyone around me sees a big difference.
After just 6 weeks, Better Bodies promises you a better body, and individual programs start at only $39.99 a month.
At Better Bodies, it's a great atmosphere and positive and energetic and encouraging.
For a free personal evaluation, call Better Bodies at 975-7074.
You will definitely see results.
That's 975-7074 or on the web at betterbodiestucson.com.
Hi, I'm Rabbi Sam Kohan of Temple Emmanuel. There's a great story about a guy whose mother gives him two ties for his birthday, a red one and a blue one. He doesn't much like either one, but to please her, as he dresses for dinner, he puts on the red tie and comes downstairs. His mother takes one look at him and says, "So, what's the matter? You don't like the blue one?" So many times in life, we're not satisfied. We're just not getting what we want. Judaism helps teach us how we can find what we need in the world from our God and from those we love. Come to Temple Emmanuel. We'll help. Call 325-4888. Temple Emmanuel, a Reformed Jewish community for all of Tucson, preschool, religious school, adult education academy. Call 325-4888. As long as we're on the subject of Noah this morning, you should know that not only is Noah a terrific Bible story and the source of much merriment and many children's toys, it also was once an obscure but very fun Broadway musical called 2x2, which starred Danny Kaye. The story of Noah is certainly a great tale, but the story of this musical, while tinged with minor tragedy, is also a great story. In 1970, the American musical composer giant Richard Rodgers took on a play brought to him by Martin Charnin, an adaptation of the great dramatist Clifford Odets' adaptation of the Noah story called The Flowering Peach. Odets' play had been a Broadway hit in the mid-50s, starring Yiddish theater clown Menashe Skolnick, and Richard Rodgers chose it to make his 38th Broadway musical. It was a comeback show after a minor heart attack and 5 years away from the theater. At the time, it marked Richard Rodgers' 50th anniversary on Broadway. Peter Stone, fresh from his success with the patriotic musical 1776, wrote the book. Martin Charnin the lyrics, and Rodgers composed a bouncy, effective score. Not his best, but not his worst either. The show was eagerly anticipated in the Broadway world, particularly after the star who was to play Noah was hired, the great movie musical hero, Danny Kaye. Danny Kaye was a legend who first made a name for himself on the stage doing musicals and had gone on to a movie and television career that included The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, Hans Christian Andersen, and many other famous roles. Tickets sold fast, and when the musical began, it was a moderate hit. Not a great show, perhaps, but clever, buoyed by Richard Rodgers' score and a good night of entertainment at the least. Among the supporting actors was Madeline Kahn, who later went on to fame in Mel Brooks' movies like Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein. Anyway, the Noah musical 2x2 was sailing along for months. And then, during one show, Danny Kaye had a minor accident, badly tearing ligaments in his ankle. He finished the show, but then was hospitalized briefly and emerged with a full leg cast. After 4 days off, Kaye returned to the well-sold show in a wheelchair and later on crutches. It was a publicity bonanza. What a trooper, everyone said. But it was a slightly different Danny Kaye who returned to the show. Obviously in pain and by now clearly bored with the show, Kaye decided to turn the whole thing into a vaudeville shtick. Mugging for the audience, trying to crack up his fellow performers, pretending to forget his lines, throwing comments at celebrities in the audience. There was nothing anyone in the production could do. After all, this was Danny Kaye, a legend, the star of the show, and the reason people were buying tickets. Even Richard Rodgers just gritted his teeth and went on to a new project. The show finally closed after a year. undone by human arrogance, just like the human race in Noah's time. But it has survived in a recorded version, including this song about what we'll do when the rain stops and humanity can reemerge onto a brand new landscape.
Why are you so gloomy? We're alive and we're afloat. After 40 days and nights, it's shipshape on the boat. Look, the sun's come out again and turned a rosy red. How can you be gloomy when you think of what's ahead? It's gonna be some terrific place when it dries, you're gonna see wide and open space when it dries, it's gonna be some terrific place, you're gonna see wide and open space, we're gonna have such a human race when it dries. The greenery's gonna have a shine when it dries.
When it dries!
The world'll be full and fat and fine when it dries.
When it dries!
The greenery's gonna have a shine. The world'll be full and fat and fine.
The best thing of all, it's one third fine when it dries.
Half a million growing things will spring up from the ground.
Half a million bodies will be floating all around.
Room to work and grow and build a company of men.
Think about how much we can contaminate again.
We're going to walk a righteous path when it dries. When it dries, remembering how he vents his wrath when it dries. We're going to walk a righteous path, remembering how he vents his wrath.
That when he got mad, we took some bath.
When it dries.
That was Danny Kaye as Noah singing When It Dries from the musical 2x2. To fill our Noah's Ark of material this morning, our Jewish poetry slam comes from British poet Robert Graves, called The Ark. Beasts of the field, fowls likewise of the air, came trooping seven by seven or pair by pair. And though from hell the archfiend Samael bawled out, "Escapist," Noah did not care. When we come back, we'll have a little more Noah humor and talk with our maven on Israel, Danny Bobman.
Hi, I'm Rabbi Sam Kohan of Temple Emmanuel. Here's a great little book called Children's Letters to God, Real Letters by Real Kids. A boy writes, "Dear God, how come you did all those miracles in the old days and don't do any now?" Signed, Seymour. When we were young, most of us wondered about that. If God could split the Red Sea, how come he was no help in geometry? If God was so powerful, why didn't we win the lottery? Or why couldn't we make somebody love us? You know, maybe it's that miracles are not quite what we remember them being as kids. There's a prayer in Judaism. We thank you, God, for the daily miracles that happen morning, noon, and night. Come to Temple. Let us help you find the ability to see miracles all around. Call 325-4888. Temple Emmanuel, a Reformed Jewish community for all of Tucson, preschool, religious school, adult education academy. Call 325-4888.
Every once in a while, you want a different sort of day. A day you can be transported in a comfortable coach bus, partake in a wonderful luncheon, and see a show you'll truly enjoy, like Showboat. Men will take you on a journey of pure delight. For entertainment trips to Mesa, Globe, and elsewhere, call Men at 296-1190. The delightful musical Showboat will be performed on the 25th of February in Mesa, Arizona. It's $60 for the whole experience, including the bus, the meal, and the show. Call Men at 296-1190. Ask about their Apache Gold overnight trip, too. It's to enjoy. Call Men at 296-1190.
Along with our Noah-thon this morning, a last ad on the holiday of Simchat Torah. I learned just this last week from my friend Andy Ivintosh that the great Chicago fire of 1871 actually took place on Simchat Torah. You know the event. One dark night when we were all in bed, Mrs. O'Leary left a lantern in the shed. Actually, it sounds like I've been sampling some of that Hebrew beer. Sorry. Anyway, it turns out that the fire, which destroyed a good part of the city of Chicago, also destroyed many synagogues, but very few Torahs, because at the time the fire hit, most Jews were at temple, celebrating Simchat Torah and dancing with the Torahs, sometimes in the streets, and they simply then carried them to safety. Semi-miraculous. Reminds me of an incident from my own past when I lived in Santa Barbara, California. A terrible fire swept down from San Marcos Pass and burned 400 homes. It swirled on either side of the temple there, but didn't damage it at all. And in the immediate threat of the fire, the Catholic caretaker had taken the Torahs, packed them into the temple van, and driven through a wall of flames to save the Torahs. Well, in honor of the saved Torahs of Chicago and Santa Barbara and anywhere else, here's a cut from the Avanim Band CD, the Jewish rock band of Temple Emmanuel, on the subject of Torah. Ki Heim Chayenu, the words of Torah are our life and the length of our days. That's the Avanim Rock Band in our Shabbat Rock CD. For a copy, call 327-4501. We're delighted to welcome our maven on Israel, Danny Bobman, to Two Jewish this morning with some recollections about military service and what it means to be in the reserves in Israel. Boker Tov, Danny.
Good morning, Rabbi. I was checking my email messages the other day when my eyes caught the familiar address of my friend from my military reserve unit. "We're being called again," it said. "I need your list." He was referring to the assignment roster I used to manage every time we were called on active duty. I mailed him back that it is all back in Israel and where he could find it. And then it hit me. It's been 20 years of on and off military service, 17 of them in the reserve. My next thought was that by the time I'll return home, they may no longer call me. Combat soldiers are released earlier than others. And oddly enough, it was a sad notion. By Israeli law, men are required to continue their military service in reserve until age 56, as long as they are healthy and can perform their duties. Women are also subject to reserve duties until they get married or become mothers, although in their case, it is very rare that they are being called. Not everybody serves. Over the years, many segments of Israeli society found a way to be exempt from service duties. People with medical problems, financial hardships, yeshiva students, and let's face it, those who know how to avoid their duties without being punished for it. But burden sharing in Israel, though a fascinating topic to explore, is not the story I want to tell today. As I was saying, for over 20 years I wore uniforms. Each year was different, but all in all, I figured I accumulated 4 additional years beyond my initial 3 compulsory years. It's a piece of life. My reserve unit is a microcosmos of Israel, politically left and right wing, secular and observant, wealthy and unemployed, scholars and blue-collar, you name it, we got it. By now, our families all know each other, and our get-togethers are not confined to military-organized ones, but rather a part of our social realm, our extended family, if you will. Over the years, we've seen each other graduate from universities, build businesses, go bankrupt, get married, divorced, have children, grow bellies and losing hair. When we meet, it is like we've never parted. There are no power struggles, no hidden agendas, just plain camaraderie. The Israeli Reserve experience was shaped by my country's security needs. Somehow, questions like, why are we doing it, or for whom, never came up. When the envelope is in the mail, or the phone rings, the people show up. They leave their routine, their studies, and their projects, and most important, their families, and they show up. When we talk among ourselves, we complain about the army, the food, the weather, the system, and every structure mechanism that had something to do with the fact that we're back in uniforms. This is the bon ton. You're not supposed to look happy to be back in uniforms. So when my friend tells me they're being called up again, I can't tell him how much I miss him and the rest, because that would be like saying I like the army, and that's a big no-no. We never say it's for God or country or any serious ideology. We say we came because everybody else showed up. The plain, harsh reasoning are never spoken out loud. Nobody speaks of the danger involved. Nobody uses big words like defending your country. But after 20 years of reserve, we somehow all know that in Israel, doing reserve duty is the right thing to do. And for the first time in many years, I will not be there to complain. Until next time, Rabbi, have a good weekend.
Thanks, Danny. Shavua Tov, a good week, for that fascinating lesson on service. When we come back, we'll hear more from Bill Cosby on Noah and get the news of Jews around the world.
At Temple Emmanuel Preschool, they really have fun.
Aleph, bet, vet.
Aleph, bet, vet.
Gimel, dalet, hey.
Gimel, dalet, hey.
At Temple Emmanuel Preschool.
Temple Emmanuel Preschool.
We learn and play all day.
We learn and play all day. Yeah.
At Temple Emmanuel Preschool, children are welcome from 6 weeks to pre-kindergarten. We've got small class sizes with a low student-to-teacher ratio. Our professional staff is highly trained and nurturing, and the school offers an all-day extended program with a rich learning curriculum including science, art, music, and dance. Of course, Temple Emmanuel Preschool is open to community members of all faiths. We invite you to come for a visit anytime. Just call Lynn or Melissa at 325-0390. Remember, at Temple Emmanuel Preschool,
we learn and play all day.
Temple Emmanuel Preschool on Country Club just north of Broadway. Call 325-0390 or go to templeemmanueltucson.org. So, here you are, enjoying your Sunday morning with Rabbi Sam Kohan, his mavens, and his friends. Isn't it great hearing the variety of in-depth interviews, the traditional and not-so-traditional Jewish music, the news of Jews around the world, and of course the wit and humor that you've come to expect? You know, producing Too Jewish is a labor of love, but we do need your help. We'd like to ask your business to consider advertising right here within our show. By advertising here, you'll reach an educated, affluent audience, an audience that's loyal. It's easy and inexpensive to advertise on Too Jewish. Just call 327-4501. Your call will help guarantee that Too Jewish remains a source for the best of Jewish culture. Please call today, 327-4501. 327-4501. And thanks from your friends right here at Too Jewish.
Noah has inspired humor forever, probably since he got on the ark. Here, Bill Cosby has a little more to say from and about Noah.
He had to keep telling the rabbits, only two, only two, only two. So we find Noah pulling up the last two animals, two hippos, and he's really in a hurry to get them up because he's afraid that the Lord's going to call him and ask him to do something else, and his nerves are shot. This is one heck of a job for a man 600 years old. So we find him pulling up the last two hippos, and of course the Lord does call him there. Come on, fat hippos, hurry up. Come on, will you please?
Noah.
What? What do you want?
Gotta take one of those hippos out and bring in another one.
What for?
Because you got two males down there and you need to bring in a female.
I'm not bringing nothing in. You change one of them.
Come on, you know I don't work like that.
I'm sick and tired. I've had enough of this stuff. I've been working all day, working on for days and days. I'm sick and tired of this.
Noah?
Yeah?
How long can you tread water?
Yeah, well, I got news for you.
I'm sick and tired of this whole mess. If I have the whole neighborhood's out there laughing at me, you're all having a grand time at good old Noah there. I went out and got my best friend Larry. I said, Larry, listen, I've been talking with the Lord. Larry said, oh, really? I said, yeah, yeah, listen. Lord Larry, Larry Lord, you walked off there laughing. I hear them all up there laughing at me. You know I'm the only guy in this neighborhood with an ark? People around there laughing, picket signs, walking up and down. I'm sick and tired of this stuff here. People are walking around there, how you doing, Tarzan? How's everything out there? Sick and tired of this mess here. You're supposed to know all and see all. You let me go out there and bring in a pregnant elephant. You give me no manual for delivery and nothing. Never told me the thing was pregnant. There's good old Noah waiting underneath the elephant there. Broom, right on top of it. Up all that stuff for you running around and you're supposed to know all and see all. Like I said before, you let me go out there and do all this stuff here. You never even looked in the bottom of that ark. Have you looked down there? No. Who's going to clean up that mess down there? That's me. I'll tell you that. I've had enough of this stuff. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm letting all these animals out, and then I'm going to burn down this ark, and I'm going to Florida somewhere because you haven't done nothing. I'm sick and tired of all this mess. You're fooling around, and you haven't done nothing since you got it raining. It's not a shower, is it? Okay, Lord, me and you, right? Because I knew all the time everything was right.
If you have questions, comments, or criticisms, send them to us at 2JewishRadio@yahoo.com. You can now get CDs of any past Two Jewish shows for a nominal cost. Just call Temple Emmanuel, 327-4501, or visit us on the web at templeemmanueltucson.org. When we return, we'll get the news of Jews around the world and spend more time with our guest, Jeremy Cowan, founder and promoter of Hebrew Beer.
If you're like most people, your biggest purchase is your home. Don't you wish there was someone you could turn to who not only had knowledge and experience, but who truly cared about you? If you're looking to buy or sell a home, you need to know Jill Rich. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. With over 20 years of experience, Jill's one of Tucson's top realtors. She specializes in all kinds of residential property. She can find you a starter house or a castle. Jill will find you the perfect home. While the stock market has wild gyrations, real estate grows in value. If you want to invest in income property, Jill can guide you. And if you're thinking about selling your home, Jill provides a personal marketing program to sell your house fast. You can reach Jill Rich at Realty Executives River Road office, 615-8400. Jill provides strong representation in a caring way. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. Jill Rich, call 615-8400.
We continue with our Two Jewish update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
Two prominent Democratic presidential candidates with significant Jewish associations, Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut and General Wesley Clark, have decided to bypass Iowa's presidential caucuses for Democrats, which has angered party leaders there and signaled it could be a very interesting nomination battle next year. Joe Lieberman's advisors said that they would pull out all but one of 17 staff members in Iowa and send them to states considered more receptive to his appeal, like Arizona. General Clark, the one with the Jewish grandfather, said he would maintain a minimal presence in Iowa, which has the nation's earliest presidential selection contest of any kind. We're not sure if that means that Lieberman's flagging presidential campaign or Clark's incipient one are in trouble or simply making a wise choice. In a decision seen as a kind of gauge of world opinion, the UN General Assembly overwhelmingly approved a resolution demanding Israel tear down its barrier fence, which it says it needs to protect it from the suicide bombers the Palestinians have been sending regularly. The resolution, of course, isn't legally binding, but after 6 hours of very public negotiations, it not only won support from the European Union, but was submitted for a vote by the entire 15-nation bloc, which is one of the sponsors of the pretty much dead roadmap peace plan. In return for EU support, the Palestinians agreed to drop a second resolution that would have asked the International Court of Justice at The Hague for an advisory opinion on the legality of the barrier. Only Israel, when it puts up a fence on its border, is called to some sort of general court. The resolution does raise the possibility that the UN or the Palestinians or someone will try to take Israel to court sometime in the future if they do not dismantle the fence, which they certainly will not do. Ambassador to the UN from Israel, Dan Gillerman, said that it was turning the UN into a political weapon for one party. He warned it should be rejected out of hand, not legitimized by pandering in some sort of bizarre negotiating process. On Wednesday of last week, Israeli Vice Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said Israel would not stop building the barrier. That just seems obvious. And that's the news of Jews around the world. We are delighted to welcome back our guest, the owner of the Schmaltz Brewing Company, Jeremy Cowan, creator of Hebrew Beer to Too Jewish. He is now spreading the word across, as he puts it, our American land of milk and honey, he being the entire staff of San Francisco Schmaltz Brewing Company. Jeremy is on a celebratory journey of much less than biblical proportions to reveal and revel in changes that have transformed Schmaltz Brewing and Hebrew beer in recent days. That is, they've gone to smaller bottles, if I'm not mistaken. The Wandering Hebrew Beer Tour starts from San Francisco, works its way all the way across the country. He'll be in Tucson this coming Monday, and he'll tell you about that. As he says, let those who have said Jews don't drink beer be the first to come forward and let their cups runneth over with the chosen beer. Jeremy, you began this process by driving beer around in your grandmother's Volvo for Hanukkah in 1996. You've come a long way from there. Tell me about the process.
Well, it's been a pretty wild ride for 7 years. I started the company as a complete experiment and put out 100 cases of beer for Hanukkah in 96, and I hand-bottled and hand-labeled at a very small little brewery on the peninsula outside San Francisco. And at the time, I didn't have a car, and so I borrowed my grandmother's Volvo, and I sold the beer to four grocery stores, and the word kind of spread. There was a tiny little article in the Jewish newspaper in town which got into a woman's article. Her column for the New York Times wire service had like one sentence in it, and that got into about 15 major newspapers around the country for maybe half a sentence, just mentioning, hey, there's this crazy beer in San Francisco called Hebrew. And the week of Hanukkah, I had something like 300 voicemails on this $5 voicemail that I had set up at the very last minute.
So
it turned out that again, going to the stereotypes that you were talking about, you know, Jews are looking for interesting, funky, special ways to celebrate their own culture and to have fun and to taste delicious products. And so from there, it's taken me 7 years, but I've been selling...
Well, that's a number of biblical proportions, so that's okay.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm supposed to be taking a rest, but...
This is no sabbatical.
I think not this year. This has been a really exciting year. For 6.5 years, I had just 22-ounce bottles, individual bottles. And it was great. I sold it at Safeway and Whole Foods and some of the larger chains in Northern California and Southern California, a little bit in Chicago and New York, and then a smattering of other little markets around the country. But now, this summer, I was able to switch breweries, change all the packaging, introduce a new beer style, and expand my distribution to about, now I'm in about 20 states, including Arizona for the first time, and Tucson and Phoenix, which I am absolutely thrilled about.
How do you choose the names for your beers? You have Messiah Bold, the beer you've been waiting for, I like that a lot, and the Timely Genesis Ale, appropriate to our Torah readings now, but I assume that was your first beer.
It was. That was my first creation, and the shtick just kind of rolled out. It continues to roll out.
While you were drinking the beer?
Well, some of it was before we even had the beer. You know, I remember exactly the moment where I was thinking, well, I'm going to make this beer. It'll be called Hebrew, and it just absolutely couldn't be called anything other than the chosen beer. And, of course, the name of the brewing company would have to be Schmaltz Brewing Company. And the shtick just kind of, in some ways, writes itself.
So what's next? Purim Porter? Lost Tribes Lager?
Not bad. You know, one of the fun things for me is that I get so many people putting in their shtick on the beer, and it's a wonderful way to kind of incorporate customer suggestions. And at beer festivals, sometimes I'll do punchlines and giveaway T-shirts for the best punchline, and it's just really fun. I just put out Messiah Bold as a brand new beer style for me. It's a delicious nut brown ale with a really nice dark malt, but a very smooth flavor and a good hop balance.
A good beer with brisket.
There you go, exactly. And you know, I'm trying to make beers that are very high quality. They're not just bland, flavorless beers with a funny label. I grew up in Northern California, where the microbrew movement really took off, and I had also worked at a brew pub after college, and I really appreciated the taste of really high quality specialty beers. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make something that was just as good as anything on the market, but also had a really fun, funky, unique personality.
The Jerusalem Report reviewed your beer. They said it was the beer that could bring a whole new meaning to the high holy days.
Yeah, that's right.
A New York Times called it their favorite microbrew, which is, you know, pretty high praise.
Yeah, I was very happy about it.
Nice to be reviewed there, but you were also reviewed in Bikini Magazine. I didn't know there was a Bikini Magazine.
It had a good run. There was about a 3 or 4 year run where it was kind of like Maxim and stuff.
You have on the label a couple of Hasidic guys. Your website has a mini ad with two Hasidic guys going into a bar and then having beer. You call it Hebrew beer. Do you ever worry about not reversing stereotypes but perpetuating stereotypes?
Well, I think that my goal from the beginning was to make, like I said, unapologetically and very, I don't know, I'd call it flamboyantly Jewish product. So the beer label itself was done by a friend of mine in San Francisco, and our goal was to make something that kind of drew on the connections to things like Chagall, which actually just saw the Chagall show in San Francisco, which is incredible. And the original label actually had a dancing green rabbi on a bright orange label as kind of an allusion to a couple of different Chagall paintings.
Homage à Chagall.
Yeah, just a little bit of a something. Because, I mean, you got to admit that visually, a Fiddler on the Roof kind of motif is about the most well-known, you know, obviously Jewish motif that you can think of. I mean, I'm not observant Jew. I grew up in a suburban Reformed synagogue. I did spend 5 months in Israel living with a modern Orthodox community, which was a wonderful experience for me. And that after that, I came back and started getting much more involved in the Jewish community. And the rabbi on the website, which is a great TV spot, which I strongly encourage people to check out. That's
very
Rabbi Joseph Langer. And he's the Chabad rabbi in San Francisco, and he's just been an incredible supporter. He calls himself the Grateful Yid and cruises around San Francisco on his, I think he calls it a mitzvah mobile. It's a little three-wheeled motorcycle, and he's got a wonderful, wonderful attitude. And then the other young man went on the same Israel program that I did and came back and has been working for Chabad for a couple of years now. That's Jesse Pastor. So they were incredible supporters.
Which Israel program did you go on?
I went on a program called Leave Note, Ulahiba Note.
Yeah.
And based
it's in Sfad and also Jerusalem. Right.
That's right. Yeah, it was great.
You've drunk beer in Israel, where it's Maccabi and Gold Star and not much else.
Yeah.
Ever thought about importing real microbrew to Israel?
I think about it a lot. The bottom line for the beer business is that shipping probably costs more than everything else combined, depending on how far you go. And so I've thought about trying to really find a partner in Israel that could brew the beer for me there to my specifications. But it would be great to be able to get it over there. I mean, the thing about Hebrew is it is an American Jewish product. The shtick is in English, and so for it's really, you know, that's my culture. And as much as I would love to have it in Israel, you know, it's really appropriate for the U.S. And I'm still just I'm a one man operation, so I'm still just trying to bust into, you know, New York,
which has just about as many Jews as Israel.
Exactly.
And probably a larger market.
Yeah, but it would be great. I mean, I think that Israel, it's funny that they are, they're, I think, the single lowest per capita beer consumption for any...
country in the world.
Any country in the world. And yeah. So that would be a really fun, yet another great stereotype to be able to bust up, see if I could make a go of it over there.
So my associate rabbi, David Freeland, thought that a fair trade would be a case of beer for doing an interview on the radio. And I said that was probably not ethical for rabbis to ask for this. You're going to be here in town this Monday. You want to tell everybody where you are?
Yeah, I would love to. Actually, I'm going to have three chances in Arizona for people to come by. On Sunday, I'm going to be in Scottsdale at the Papago Brewing. It's called Papago Brewing. It's from 3 to 6 p.m. on Sunday. That's in Scottsdale. And they can look that up on the web, and I'd love to have people come by. That'll be just a casual kind of beer tasting. Papago Brewing on, I think it's called McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Tucson on Monday, I've got two events. One is a beer tasting at Plaza Liquors. From 4 to 6,
and that's on Campbell.
Yeah, it's an intro to the Jewish community there and the retail community, really. And then I'm really excited to be able to have a little beer tasting on the back porch at Bison Witches on 4th Avenue over near the university, and that's from 7:30 to 9:30. And the U of A Hillel grad students and young professional group is going to host. Just kind of a fun little mixer. And I would love to have people come by Bison Witches anytime after 7:30.
What's the perfect Jewish food to eat with your beers?
Well, another fun thing about beer is it goes so well with all kinds of food. And
But I need the perfect Jewish food for the Genesis Ale and the
last Messiah. Night I was at the City Deli in San Diego, and I was eating cheese blintzes with fresh blueberries and homemade sour cream, and I thought it was absolutely delicious with the darker style because it was kind of a sweeter, nuttier, maltier combination, and with the lighter style Genesis Ale, which is kind of a crisp, hoppy, a little bit maltier version of Sierra Nevada or something like that. It's a really nice, smooth, lighter style beer with a nice crisp flavor.
So you heard it here first. That's how you should break your fast next year after Yom Kippur.
Exactly. That with a bagel and lox platter, or with my favorite are turkey Reubens.
Jeremy Cowan, thank you for being here on Too Jewish.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. When we come back, we'll get a final play out and hear about next week's guest.
Have you ever wanted to know more about Judaism but were afraid to ask, or just didn't know the best place to start? Temple Emmanuel's Adult Education Academy, the largest and most complete adult Jewish education in Arizona, is taking registration now for its outstanding fall classes, beginning the week of October 20th. Classes range from introductory courses like Taste of Judaism and Practical Judaism to Basic Judaism and Intermediate Judaism, and they include Kabbalah, 3 levels of Hebrew, courses in the forbidden love poetry of the Song of Songs, the Book of Kings, the Prayers of the Heart, adult bar and bat mitzvah, adult confirmation, and Jewish book and movie groups. Call 327-4501 for a brochure and more information. Our instructors include Rabbi Samuel M. Kohan, Rabbi David Freeland, and Rabbi Richard Safran. They're all outstanding and entertaining teachers. Classes meet in central Tucson and in the Northwest. Do the Jewish thing. Learn. Call 327-4501 to find out more.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Too Jewish with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends. You can contact us at 327-4501 or at TooJewishRadio@yahoo.com. Come back next Sunday at 10, right here on 990 AM KTKT.
Thanks for being here today. Join us next week when our guest is Shai Ben-Tekoa, prominent Israeli newscaster and also a resident of the West Bank, talking about what it's like to be a quote-unquote settler in Israel. By the way, if you want to reach our guest from this morning, Jeremy Cowan, or learn more about Hebrew beer, contact their website at www.schmaltz.com. Our playout this morning comes from an Israeli song from Yehoram Gaon, perhaps his last big hit, about a different orchard than the one in the Garden of Eden or the one Noah planted, Bapardes Liad HaShoket. My friends, have a good morning, a Shavua Tov, a week, we pray, of peace.
בפרדס ליד השוקת צל ארבעים וירוקת וציפור שוטה אשקולית תלויה עדיין בין החורף והקיץ ואני כמותה עוד אני בוסע לחפש אחרי האהבת חיי ואני יודע תמה העונה.
The preceding program was produced and paid for by Temple Emmanuel.